God, straight away, and it wasn't an audible voice. I'm going to talk about hearing God this morning. It wasn't an audible voice, but it was, he will not die. And that's all I needed. He will not die. And it was deep within me. It was something that I knew, 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 that anyone coming up to me and giving me bad news, I knew and I would be able to say, no, he's not going to die. Because that's what God put within my heart. So isn't God good? So this morning we have got some props. You know that when I prepare something, I pray over it. I've had this word for about 3 or 4 weeks. I pray over it. I always ask God that he will help me to bring his word and break it down. And break it down for new people, say this every time I'm up, and for people who've been on the journey a long time. I want all of you to get something fresh this morning from God through his Holy Spirit. Lord, I just pray right now, God, that you fill me complete with your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you'll speak to every heart and every mind that is here before you. So this morning, I'm going to continue my theme of listening to God, because that's what God's been speaking to me about for quite a time now. Sometimes as human beings, everything is in our heads. And that's because we've been made to reason, we've been made to sort things out. We've also been designed with a will. We like our own way. We've also been designed with emotions. Now, sometimes those are managed well, and sometimes they're not. We're all different. Some people's emotions are like that. Some people are easily led, so they're not strong-willed. So, you know, different things happen in those scenarios. But this morning, I want to compare our ordinary mind and heart with the one that is listening to God and us listening to him, which will open up everything else. From the moment we're born, we learn behaviour. You've only got to watch a little toddler to see and notice that they learn behaviour. When they go near something hot, we look after them and we say no, don't we? And when you've got ornaments, I don't know what you did, but mine were left on the shelf. And I made sure that I didn't have anything that I was too bothered about. But most of the time, because I said no, they were left alone. So that was okay. But little ones, you know, have a way of learning all the time. Some of you, as I just said, are just starting this journey. Some of you may not have even started yet. And I'd encourage you this morning to start your journey with God, because that's where you're going to reach your full potential. Jesus met Nicodemus, and you can read it in John 3, and it was explained that Nicodemus was asking about how he could become a Christian, how he could find God, and Jesus said, you have to be born again. It's a phrase sometimes I like and sometimes I don't like it, because sometimes it's kind of abused, that phrase, being born again, and it's sometimes used wrong, but it means basically a fresh start, a spiritual rebirth. I said a prayer and I asked for forgiveness about everything I'd ever done. And I hadn't done much. I was only 14. You know, I'd not robbed a bank. I'd not done drugs. I'd not done much. But, you know, as soon as I said that prayer at that young age, I felt clean inside. Absolutely clean inside. And I had such peace. And I felt like I'd come home. Can't explain it other than that. And everyone has a different encounter. Some of you will encounter God in stages and suddenly realise, wow, I'm changing. And God's Holy Spirit is slowly changing you. Some people, it's dramatic. You pray a prayer and, wow, God comes in a massive way. Everyone's different. But, you know, before I became a Christian, I had thoughts about God. And I was weighing things up before I became a Christian. And I thank God that he speaks to us before we know him. He talks to us before we know him. And things happen before we know him. I'm glad that we don't get to be a Christian by following rules, because not one of us would pass. Not one of us. We've got God's unmerited favour, and it's called grace, and it's a wonderful thing. God does not treat us as we should be treated. Paul says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. But you unite yourself with the Lord. And when I was thinking about this, I thought, right, Mark mentioned it last week, which is good because, as I say, I'd got this word. And he's saying there, really, you can do most things, but will they benefit you? And what does unite yourself with the Lord mean? Now, this is tough. It means be committed to God. It means be submitted to God. Some of us don't like being submitted. And be submitted to leadership. So this is what I'm talking about, being closer to God, being led by the Holy Spirit. So you have two parts. You have the flesh and you have the spirit. And Mark began to speak about this last week. You've got the natural person that you are. Some of you are bubbly. Some of you are quiet. The normal person, or natural person, is a person who gets up, they might go to work, they have the day planned in front of them. Some of you are lucky and don't go to work because you're retired. And you eat, you sleep, and repeat. And that's what a lot of people do. And God is not displeased with this person because it's natural. It's part of being in the human race. The concept of a spiritual life sometimes could appear to someone boring. I mean, look how Christian stuff's portrayed on the telly. There's always a dodgy vicar, isn't there? There's never anybody sort of in a positive spiritual light. There's very few people. So some people would think, well, going to church, I can't see that being much fun. And I want to make money. I want to get on. I want to get a good job. And what it says in the Bible is that the Christian life can appear really foolish to people. And that's in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Now, I'm not going to put that scripture up yet because I'm going to come back to it. So how can a life that you're doing, what does it look like? Well, sometimes your own natural life, it may not have much direction. It's pretty hard sometimes to choose your own path. It's not an easy thing. Sometimes you get into trouble by the company you keep. Sometimes some people might have an angry, might be angry. Short fuse. Some of you will be okay with a drink. Some of you won't and be completely destroyed. Some people, it's food. They have a problem with food, either not eating enough or eating too much. As you can see, not eating enough is not my problem. I love my food. And some things are not good for us. But what I want to say is, I want to talk about the spiritual person. So I've just talked about the natural person. When you all know the natural person, because you live with it 24/7, so I'm going to talk about the spiritual person. And I'm going to talk about having your spiritual light on. And it's so important to have your inside spiritual light on, because that's the part that connects to God. Now, in front of you, I have three props. Can you guess what they are? Lights, yes. Three different lamps. Okay, so if this is being recorded, I will describe them. So, that one is a desk lamp. Yeah, this is Andy's desk lamp, bought by myself as a gift. So when he's on his computer, he can see what he's doing. This one, how would you describe this one? Table lamp, yeah. Nice and elegant. It was actually my mum's. So it's got a sentimental value for me because I use it every day. I read by this light every morning. And it's one that my mum chose. So I love that one. And this one. It's like a Dalek, yeah. It is like a Dalek. It's like something out of a sci-fi film, isn't it? It's had a bit of a sad life, this lamp. It hasn't got a light. There's no lamp inside because it's American. It's got American fittings and it was bought and it's never been switched on. And look at the plug. Needs an adapter to work. And it was bought and it's I'm trying to work out how old it is now. This lamp is 11 and it's never been switched on. Oh, yes. But it's having a new home today. I'm taking it to someone who's got an art studio and they're gonna buy a lamp and buy a plug and give it a new home. So it was on its way to the tip. And when somebody told me, I thought, no, it's not going to the tip. Okay. So what I was going to do this morning, but it hasn't worked, so I'm going to explain it to you. At home, we've got Alexa. Now, I know there's all sorts of feelings about Alexa and everything else, but let's just pretend it's just something you tell to put a light on and the lamp comes on, yeah? So at home, Andy sits on the couch and he says, Alexa, lamp on. He sits on the sofa. He loves it that the lamp next to him comes on. I think he feels like he's magic. Okay. So that's what I was going to do this morning. And I went away for a few days. And when I went away, I sat there. Andy was at home and I was away with some friends. And I sat there and I thought, I'm going to play a trick on him. So I got me phone app out, Alexa. And I said to my phone, Alexa, lamp on. I thought I'd be sat there watching the telly and the lamp will come on. And then I went, lamp off. I thought he'll be sat there, the lamp's going off, and he'll be sat there thinking, what's going on? And then I went, Alexa, lamp on. And then I went, lamp off. And I thought, all right, that's enough now, because otherwise he'd be going mental at home. So I rang him. I said, hey, are you all right? He went, yeah, I'm fine. Has anything happened tonight? He went, no, not really. Oh, did you have a problem with the lamp? He said, funny you should say that. He said, it came on and off a few times. It's all right. I said, it was me playing a trick on you. He didn't know I could remotely put it on. But I brought the lamps because, you know, we've got to switch the lamp on. It doesn't happen. And what I'm saying there is the Holy Spirit and us becoming a Christian, but then ongoing, we have to continually put that lamp on. We have to continually have the light of God in our lives. And we need that because the light exposes stuff in our lives. For those of you that want to read more, the more mature Christians amongst us, read Isaiah 40. When you get home, it's a description of God's comfort and strength, and particularly verse 13, where it talks about God's got all wisdom and all knowledge. And have a meditate on that this week because it will do you good. The scripture that Mark and I both like is Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You see, when we switch that light on, we are open and hungry then for spiritual things. And we experience the fruit of the Spirit, we experience joy, we experience the gifts of the Spirit. And it can be summed up by this verse, Matthew 6, verse 22 and 23. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, some of you will have a battle between darkness and light. And you'll say to me, well, what do you mean by that, Sue? There's people in this room and you will struggle with dark thoughts. Sometimes when you first become a Christian or on the process of becoming a Christian, you wake up and you don't wake up with positive thoughts. And you can have dark thoughts. And I'm covering this morning because I feel that it needs to be discussed this morning, that when you have dark thoughts, you need to go and turn the lamp on. You need to ask God to fill you with good thoughts and fill you with his Holy Spirit. You see, you have an enemy of your soul, and people call that person lots and lots of things, but there is an enemy of your soul, and your enemy of your soul would like to keep you in the dark place. And that's why in Scripture there's an awful lot referred to about light, and it's really important. So I'm going to just be a bit more specific about the dark thoughts. For some people, the dark thoughts are about themselves, what they can and cannot achieve. And when you go down that route, they're not positive. Some thoughts are about yourself, about your future. And some of those thoughts won't be positive. And we know that because, you know, we experience, we've got a bridge nearby, and we know that people become very, very desperate. And I want to tell you that if you're a person that experiences dark thoughts, that talk to one of us, the leaders, but also tell you to talk to God, because you need to put the light on. And I felt I should say that this morning. The other key to having the light switched on, which is not always kind of the sort of thing that people want to do, it's about obeying God and not ourselves. You see, the thing about what's going on in our head, sometimes pleasing God is not always what we want to do, because we want our own way. And it's really important that it's not about pleasing ourselves. Asking God to help us is key. You see, as soon as we ask God, as soon as we look up, we're not focused on ourselves. You're not focused on the inner person. Joyce Meyer gave this quote, "Our spiritual eyes see with a conscience filled with God's light." So I just want to talk for a few minutes now about something that a lot of you probably realise and say, oh yeah, I know that and thing, but I'm going to go through it because I've really been having a lot of thoughts about this. The Holy Spirit connects with our conscience, and because when we become regenerated, when we become brand new inside, our conscience and the Holy Spirit work together. And that renewing of the mind that I spoke about before in Romans 12 verse 2 is really important, because that is about us being in the right place and listening to the right things. We talked before about children and in the early stages, you know, that little ones know the difference between right and wrong. And sometimes they do these experiments on the telly where they'll have a little one and they'll say, I'm going to put some little Smarties or something in a bowl and you're not allowed to touch it. And they leave the room. Have you ever seen these? Oh, and the poor little things. Oh, and they're there and they're licking the lips and they're looking at the Smarties. And then once, every now and again, one will take one. And then they come back and they go, have you had one? And they go, no. You know, and you're like looking at them thinking, oh, don't do this to them. But, you know, it's quite funny when you watch them. And one of the things that happens is, when we're connected to the light, our conscience and the Holy Spirit work together. And our conscience is heightened then. You become in a sort of state then where you're more responsive. And that's why it's really important not to have the dark thoughts. You see, the dark thoughts crowd everything out. And that's why when you're in a dark room, as soon as you put the light on, it looks different. Once you become a Christian, everything is heightened. God works through your thoughts and your feelings, but you have to trust him and ask him to help you to be successful. And he will. Your relationships will be better. You will be a nicer person because you've got God's Holy Spirit inside you. You won't, God will deal with the anger that's inside you. It might be gradual, but he'll begin to deal with it. He'll begin to deal with the person who gets frustrated. He'll begin to deal with the person who's got a short fuse. He'll begin to deal with the person who wakes up with the dark thoughts. I want to give you a very light example. I woke up the other day. I was really tired. I don't know about you, but I hate waking up tired. You've got your day in front of you, and you think, oh my word, I woke up and I'm tired. I thought, right, get outside, get some fresh air, go and walk the dog. Walk the dog. In my walk this particular morning, I was having a conversation with God, and I'm walking along and I'm going, right, God, this is your day. Everything today, Lord, I want you to be in charge of it. I want you to be in charge of me. God, I want you to get hold of this tiredness because I want you to give me the strength that I need to do the things I need to do. Walking along with the dog. Told you my dog's very spiritual. Talk to God a lot. He listens to all my conversations. And I'm walking along there. And then I gets in the house. And we have a thing in the morning. I make Andy a cup of tea because he's not an early riser. I make him a nice drink. He's lay there in bed and he wakes up and I go, hello, darling. I don't say that. I go, hiya, do you want a cuppa? And I make him a drink. And then what he does for me, which is absolutely fantastic, is when I get home from my dog walk, porridge is in the pan being cooked for me. Right? That's our routine. And this particular day I'd been out and I'd let the dog run on the field. Thankfully he's got long legs. So although it was muddy, he wasn't too bad. But I have this thing and I say to Andy, when you get up, shut the bedroom door. We have a cream carpet. Okay? So this particular time, of course, the first thing the dog does is look for him when he gets in the house. And I'm thinking, where's Andy? And I thought, I'm sure he'll be in the kitchen. And then as I looked upstairs, I could see the bedroom door was open. And you know that flash advert where the dog's... You've seen the flash advert, haven't you? With my cream carpet, muddy dog. I flew up the stairs, which are like that. I flew up the stairs and managed to get there before the dog. I was like, oh, great. Shut the door. Comes downstairs. To Andy. Shut the bedroom door. I did shut the door. No, you didn't. The door's open. I did shut the door. No, you didn't. And there he is, stirring my porridge. And then we got ready, and I left the house, and Andy did what he needed to do. And then we kissed each other and said goodbye. We never leave each other without saying goodbye to each other. We kissed each other and said goodbye. And then I started to drive to work, and my conscience was like, do you know, you talk to me on your dog walk. You asked me to bless your day. You asked me to help you with your tiredness. You asked me to be in charge of everything. And what do you do when you go home? You blew it. You blew it. Yeah. Right. Driving along. I know, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God, I shouldn't have done that. And all I could think of, he doesn't deserve that. He didn't deserve my tongue that morning. He didn't deserve it. So I gets out the car, gets my phone out. Hiya, really sorry for snapping at you this morning. I love you. Have a great day. Next thing, text comes back. I love you too. It's okay. Kiss, kiss. Now, I'm telling you that story. It's very light. But when you have days like that, it's so easy then for that whole day to become very narrow. Very easy that day for everything else to be wrong that day, to be bad-tempered with your work colleagues, to be bad-tempered with somebody else who upsets you, to think, I've blown it now, right, that's it now. And it's our sort of responsibility to actually quickly sort it out. Okay, nearly done now. It's so easy to think it doesn't matter, I've messed up. But stop, press the reset button. You know, we have to, that was a small example and a light example. But I want to tell you, we don't listen to God in the small things. He'll never give us the big things to listen. It's very important for us to get into a habit of obeying God, because if we don't do it in the small things, he won't give us the big things. So I want to encourage you to develop that. You know, God wants to speak to you and me about every relationship, our marriage, our friendships, our children, our work friends, and every interaction we have with a stranger. And I want you to, I'm going to finish with this scripture. We could put up 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 16. I'm just going to read this to you. And it's called God's Wisdom Revealed by His Spirit. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understand it, for they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. It says, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. That's what I was talking before about the connection with our spirit and God's spirit, Holy Spirit. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but being taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things. And that's where God wants to get you to. He wants you to help you to make judgments about all things and be wise in your decisions and to ask his help to be wise. But such a person is not subject to mere human judgment, for who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What I've just read is not attainable by human wisdom and investigation. So what I've just read out to you is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that you can, you know, there's really clever people and they've got theories about all sorts of things. But what I'm just saying to you there is by God's Holy Spirit. It's important to know him, to have your spiritual light on this week and be amazed at what God's going to do. So don't forget, put your light on. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Very relevant. I think one of the tips I've learned in my journey is what I try to remember. People know that I'm a Christian and they know I come to church. And so when they know that, they tend to watch you more closely to see how you behave and stuff. And I just think, how's my reaction going to be portrayed for those around me? And I get it wrong sometimes. That's rare, he'll tell you, a bit like Sue and I did. I do get it wrong, but it's important to react quickly when you do get it wrong and to own up when you get it wrong and say so. So, yeah. That's it for today. So this is our last Sunday morning service together till January, okay? So remember that. Don't come next Sunday morning. There'll be nobody here. Okay. What date do we meet back up then, Mark? Yeah, just to give you that date again. I think 2nd of January is when we're next back in. But